Good evening, and thank you for joining us for this WEAA Public Affairs special broadcast from Terra Cafe on 25th Street. I'm Deborah Owens, host of Wealthy Radio, and this is part two of our coffee and conversation in which the theme is The Entrepreneur in You, brought to you by PNC Bank. If you missed part one of the conversation, go to weaa.org to listen to the podcast. We are here tonight to be provided with information resources on how to build, be your own boss and how to build your business. And I'm really excited to talk to this panel, especially about sustaining your business. So we went from an idea to concept. Then we talked about, scaling your business. Now you want to scale it and you want to stay in business. So to that end, I want to talk about some of the resources available to business owners as it relates to capital, as well as creating more opportunities. And so I want to start this conversation with Bill Arellano, who is president and CEO of Baltimore Community Lending. Bill, talk to us a little bit about your organization and how you are helping the community and the businesses in the community sustain themselves.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation, too. This has been actually a very exciting evening with all of the discussion. Baltimore Community Lending has been in business for 28 years, doing primarily real estate financing. So this is a little bit of a departure for us. But the one thing that I kept looking at was the fact that we cannot continue to sustain the growth in home ownership and the growth in new and rehabbed housing unless people have jobs, and it's a very simple jump. So I pulled together about 45 different people to sit down and start to say, what's the problems with small business lending? There were three things that kind of struck me very early on. The first one, very simply, was that there wasn't a common platform. So everybody that's out there lending was talking a different language with a different application, and there wasn't an opportunity for one group to be able to support another. So if a bank or a small business lender couldn't do a loan, they had no way of giving it to someone else that might have been able to do it. The second thing was the big elephant in the room, which is equity. More of the small business lenders that are out there, the micro lenders like the Latino Economic Development Corporation, the Merlin Capital Enterprises, the Small Business Resource Center, said that they would work with people, they would help them to clean up their credit, build a banking relationship, and then at the end of the day, they still couldn't get the business started because they didn't have equity. And I think that's something everyone knows the statistics. We talk about it, and everyone ignores that issue. So the third issue was those that are providing micro lending spend an awful lot of time raising money. So I wanted to figure out a way, how can we make this easier? Working with the state of Maryland, the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, NeighborWorks, they have offered to identify and make available funds to us to provide credit enhancement so that we can raise private capital to be able to lend. As far as the common platform, we're working with the software from an organization out in the Midwest that's done over $1 billion of small business lending, which we have raised money. We've gotten grants from a number of institutions, and we're going to provide that software at no cost to some of the existing small business micro lenders in the area, so that we can then start to create this common platform.
Well, it's interesting because, Bill, you know, we had a lot of those questions from people about where do I get money? How can I find money? And so before I go to Wayne Ramsey, I think it's important for me to maybe segue over to you to talk a little bit about, as you know, Hank talked about the fact that he didn't have credit, you know, he found out he didn't have a credit score. How does a small business owner really position themselves to get access to a loan through either a micro lender or a traditional banking relationship?
Sure. Well, thanks, Deborah. And again, on behalf of PNC Bank, it's really great for us to be here. We're proud to sponsor this initiative. As vice president in our business banking department, I have the responsibility to proactively ensure that we are in the community looking for entrepreneurs that need assistance, and more importantly, are looking for the educational component to understand how to be informed and how to be educated on how this thing really works. To the brother in the back, Brother Hank, I wanted to address your question before I move forward. When you're talking about establishing credit, one of the things that I'm going to help you to do, and we can meet offline and give you my business card. If you don't have credit, then when you come to a bank traditionally to ask for credit, you're up against the wall, so to speak. You're between a rock and a hard place. But what I can speak to that PNC has come up with is we have a solution to that problem. We have a secured credit card, Mr. Hank, that we can help you to. And Deborah, you alluded to this earlier. Put money down on that card. Begin to use that card to make.
And I meant to say secured.
Secured.
Right?
That's fine. Yeah. No problem. Mm-hmm. You can put money down on that card. Use that card to begin to make purchases, and then pay that back on time every month, just as you would a regular credit card. And within 6 months, you'll be blown away by the difference it makes on your credit report. So we'll talk more about that offline, and that's for the viewing audience or the listening audience as well. But as it relates to getting access to capital, what we have found in our approach in the small business banking department that I'm a part of is, again, let me go back to what I said a moment ago, the educational piece is the missing link. Our community doesn't understand how credit works. And so we've got to educate minority business owners, small business owners, women in business, et cetera, the community at large, on how credit works before we can expect them to be positioned to become credit worthy or to become quote unquote bankable. So what we're doing, the department that I run for the bank, we're rolling up our sleeves and we're proactively going door to door. Our feet are on the ground. We're offering ourselves as a resource, as the recommended community local retail bank to inform. Everybody say inform, and I'm not going to preach tonight, but
oh,
I feel like it.
That sounds like it.
Our business owners on how this thing really works so that we can empower you with knowledge. Knowledge is the key. Knowledge is power. Once we can help you to set up your business plan, to understand how credit works, to understand how it impacts you, to understand how some of the credit challenges you have faced may hinder your progress, but what you can do to turn that around, then we can move forward to getting some money into the hands of small business owners in the community. And I want to say this, we have a positive approach to this. You know, there were some things that I said earlier, I won't call anybody out, but for me, you know, if everything looks blighted and everything is, you know, looks pessimistic, and if there's no optimism for our community, our business owners, our city, then what are we doing here? I think there are some folks in the room like me and many others that I know in the room that are here because we want to make a difference. We want to help. And although the playing field, quote unquote, may not be leveled, what are we doing for those of us that are on the opposite end of the boardroom to roll up our sleeves and say, hey, now that I'm here, like my grandfather used to tell me, to whom much is given, much is required. What am I doing to help my fellow, can I just say it, black folks and minority folks and those people that look like me get access to the resources that they need? We have an obligation. If we feel like we've arrived, what are we doing to reach back and to help those that need help the most? So I'm proud of the fact that I work for an institution, a financial institution, that we're taking a proactive approach so that we can indeed inform and educate the community, and in turn, our small business owners, folks that come to us and say, hey, I want to be a client of PNC. Well, if you're going to come on board with us, we're not going to let you go. We're going to stick with you for the long haul. We're going to help you from start to finish, as Brother Casey testified earlier. We really mean this. We're all about the relationship aspect of it. So in a nutshell, that's what we're looking to do, and we're really proud of it, actually.
Well, testament to that fact is that the owner of this business, the reason that we're here is because PNC Bank suggested that we have this particular event here, a minority business owner who has a relationship with PNC Bank. And I often say this, you can't be what you don't see. And so what's important is that I see others who've, you know, from from an idea to a concept, but to the point is it takes a team to build the dream.
Absolutely.
And so you've got to have that banker on your team who's willing to give you the knowledge that, and I will challenge, knowledge is power. What I will say is knowledge correctly applied is power.
Indeed.
And so you become that conduit to help people apply this knowledge. And now I want to segue over to Wayne Frazier, someone that I've admired for many, many years. And I don't think he even realizes this, but I remember like 15 years ago, it was the Maryland Washington Minority Contractors Association at that time. And you were like, these contractors are going to get some business. And you would go to Annapolis and you were like, they're going to get some business. And you were like, I was like, go, Wayne, go. And now Wayne Frazier is president of the Maryland Washington Minority Companies Association. You've broadened your reach, but I would suggest to you that you've probably brought that same passion. You've just broadened it in terms of the companies that you're touching. And to that end, you work with a lot of non-traditional business owners, Wayne. And so what would you say to the person that is listening to this program, that is a contractor that's maybe not bonded, that is someone who wants to, is like Chris Bell and is starting up and wants to get into development? How can your organization really help them scale and sustain their business?
Well, thank you. I'm a little lost right now because I have my banker next to me, Ramsey Harris from PNC, and then I have Bill Ariano, who heads up one of the best groups of lending for real estate projects in the Baltimore City. And I'm at odd because it's really that simple to go in and visit with Ramsey and his great bankers at PNC and just ask, how can I obtain financing? And for those of you in the real estate development side, Bill has a great program that will assist you in acquiring properties and improving them as well, and then selling. Some may call that flipping, but you are an investor if you're an entrepreneur. So I'm in awe of being in between these guys because they have the resources that our local small businesses can take advantage of. Now, my group, the Maryland Washington Minority Companies Association, we did expand our name from the original contractor side simply because we represent more than just contractors, although 80% of our business is representing construction and building trade contractors in the region, not just Baltimore City, but throughout the state of Maryland, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Southern Pennsylvania, and Delaware. We also represent minority-owned ATM companies, minority-owned supply companies, minority-owned architects, engineers, insurance companies, surety brokers, real estate developers, property owners. All of those companies have one thing in common that we represent. They're certified as minority-owned businesses. You had Sharon Pender from the Supply Development Council earlier discussing that her business certifies those companies to do business. Well, my business, we assist companies, small businesses, minority-owned businesses, principally in getting certified. And Sharon indicated that having a certification is a license to hunt, and I agree, because folks in Maryland and Baltimore City, if you are, your business is a domicile here, you have a wonderful opportunity that most of the other 49 other states don't have, and that is a strong women and minority business program. And the opportunities, once you're certified in any of those, property management, facility maintenance, these are things beyond construction per se, but the government contracting, they're looking for you, and now we call it the flow down, it's flowed from government to the private entities that Sharon Pender represents, and they too are looking for certified women and minority-owned businesses. Because guess what? They look out there at the sea of their clients, and it consists of you, African-American women and men, Latinos, Asian, and just women, period. That's part of the whole diversity side as well. And they say, gosh, we're selling to these folks. We should do business with these folks. It's just good business. And ladies and gentlemen, some people refer to us as the MBE police. Not the FBI, because they investigate, but the police. But we're not.
Someone has to enforce. I have to step in here, Wayne, because somebody has to enforce it. I mean, it's one thing to say that you want to do business with women, with minorities or whatever, and that we have these contracts. But if someone doesn't hold them accountable, then, you know, what's the point?
Well, that's why we have governors and mayors and council people and senators and this and that. Aren't they supposed to do that?
No. I'm not going there. Okay, I'm going to let Wayne.
I've had fun. I'm an entrepreneur now. Prior to this, I was a banker for 26 years, and I enjoy that life. But then one day I woke up at age 47, and I said, gosh, I got to do something different. So I prepared myself. I saved all the money I made back then, and I was doing a whole lot of different things other than banking, but other investments, and I prepared for me to become an entrepreneur. I saved enough money to last me for 5 years, because I know being an entrepreneur, the contracts are not going to come right away. The opportunities are not. Your best efforts sometimes will frustrate you because the work will not come. So you need that money to keep you going, and that's what I did.
That's the, and to that point, and now I want to shift back to you, Ramsey. Sure. Harris, because I want to talk about, for so many business owners, you get to that fifth year that Wayne just alluded to, and you want to go next level. And maybe you do have somewhat of a track record, but maybe most of all of your financing has been friends and families and that sort of thing. And now you want to start that banking relationship. Maybe you're going to acquire a business or something of that sort. What should I be prepared to do if I come into a PNC bank asking for capital? What do I have to be prepared to show you in order to qualify and put myself in the best light?
Well, I mean, it's simple. You have to show your ability to repay. And so if you've been a good steward, as Wayne alluded to, of your finances and a good steward of handling your personal obligations, there should be a story told that's documented, through those endeavors. And so we're not in the business of looking for reasons to say no as bankers. We're in the business of looking for how can we get the deal done. But you've got to help yourself in that. If you're really serious about jumping into entrepreneurship, understand not only is it a grind and is it a hustle, but it is a responsibility, and you have to take it seriously. You have to look at the fact that, you know, this is my life. This is for us, in our viewpoint at the bank, we consider the small business community to be the lifeblood of the economy. So if you're jumping into the small business community, entrepreneur, understand that you're a stakeholder in this economy. You have to take seriously your position as a business owner to not only sustain the community that we're in and maybe provide jobs and opportunities for others, but if you don't handle this with sincerity and discipline, you will tank. So we're looking for folks that can demonstrate to us that they're taking this seriously. They have a well-documented business plan that shows where they are, where they look to go. They have a futuristic view of what they're looking to accomplish. They've understood and tapped into the creative advantage, or the creative piece of how do I differentiate myself against everybody else that's trying to do what I'm doing. If you can show that you've been a good steward of your finances previously, we'll look for ways to help you. And if we can't help you, we'll say, okay, here's where you are. Let's look for ways to help you to get to where you want to go. And grow with you as you're moving forward.
You know, absolutely. You know, I guess what I was alluding to is I find so often in talking to people about their finances that they don't have the proper accounting. So, you know, I think it was Courtney Billups' point, just about making sure that you have that accountant, that you have the documentation, that you've filed your taxes, that you have profit and loss statements and that sort of thing. That is the kind of documentation, really, that can tell that story. So when you do sit down with the banker, you are positioned to tell that story and do it in the best way possible.
And that you've handled your personal credit obligations with discipline.
Okay, so let's talk about that. That's interesting. I certainly don't want to belabor the fact, but I think oftentimes what entrepreneurs don't understand is that their personal finances are going to reflect on their ability to get lending. It's not just that business and its performance, it's your overall picture as well.
Absolutely, because that serves as an indication to a lender of your character. What do you possess internally that will suggest to us that you have the ability to repay, and you have demonstrated through your personal obligations that you have the ability to repay? And if you've had challenges, if you've had blemishes, if you've shown, and here's an inside secret, that you're working to correct those and you're moving towards a more positive repayment history, that's key as well.
Excellent. Life
happens to people.
Yes, I do want folks, if you've got a question, please come up to the mic. I think the financial piece is critical, so we should have plenty of questions, although we only have 4 minutes. But before we go there, I want to talk to one of the points that Wayne Frazier made about your organization was about real estate development. And I think to some people it can be like a mystery about how if I'm considering what kinds of properties do you finance, and how do you have to be positioned in order to have them financed through Baltimore Community Lending?
We lend anywhere from about $150,000 up to $1 million in a number of different instruments, and one of which is called a guidance line of credit. The types of properties that we're talking about, the city has their vacants to value. They're constantly looking for people that want to buy these properties, rehab them, and sell them. We work very closely with a number of developers in that. The big issue is, to kind of reinforce what's already been discussed, is having your act together. We meet with probably about 5 or 6 people a week that come in, and we say, well, let's see your financial statement. And they look at us and they go, my what? No, let's see who you are. And it's the financial statement, your history, what experience you've had in the past. And we are able, in a lot of cases, to be a little bit flexible. That's one of the reasons that we exist. We're what's called a CDFI, which is a community development finance institution, which allows us to be a little bit more flexible than what the banks can do because of the regulatory climate that they have to operate in.
But you still have to manage your portfolio and take on a good risk, right?
And you need to have a good team. That's the other piece of it. Who's your attorney? My what? No, you need an attorney because you're going to have contracts with subcontractors, and you need to have a clear idea what you're going to do with them. Who is your bank? Who are you doing business with right now? Oh, I don't have a bank. Well, how are we going to get money to you? Who is your architect? Well, I don't need an architect. I'll just go in and I'll do a little bit. No, you're asking me to lend you $100,000 or our institution, and you don't have any idea what you're going to do with that money. So you need to have the team. You need to have a clear idea of what you want to do, and you need to be able to explain, to document where you are, what your history is, and we're able to work with you and hopefully graduate you so you can go down to PNC and get a $2 million loan.
We're talking about finances, and you know, I tell people, don't be afraid of numbers, right? Because numbers rule the world, and if you can get a team of people who can help you not only gain the knowledge, but apply that knowledge. It's so important. Very quickly, Hank, we've got about a minute, and then I got to go to a break, but go right ahead.
Two questions, right? One, what is skin in the game, and how important is it? And two, how young do we start talking to our younger youth about entrepreneur? Because I've been riding around in my sedan on my cab every day, and I'm like, look, you don't have to be out here on the corner doing so-and-so. And the first response I get is, I can't get a job. I have this on my record. I have that on my record, right? And I try to explain to them.
Okay. So the question, money. Though, hey, because we've only got a minute. Okay. Go ahead. So the question is, what do you say? When do we start talking entrepreneurship?
What is skin in the game? How important is it? And how young are y'all, as the panelists, reaching for younger people to show them entrepreneurship instead of job working skills?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll let you, Wayne, you took the jump after corporate. I'll let you take that one.
Well, skin in the game, I presume you were meaning referring to equity.
Mm-hmm.
And
not necessarily always equity. Like, you may have a whole lot of kitchen equipment, but you don't have a building or nothing else.
You should take that.
Mm.
You should take that.
Okay, go ahead.
We should have the banker take care of that. Go ahead, banker.
Okay, you know what? I've got to wrap it up, though. Okay, folks, so we'll talk about that offline. But folks, don't go anywhere. In our next panel, we're going to be talking about the secrets of success. You're not going to want to miss that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this WEAA Public Affairs special broadcast from Terra Cafe on 25th Street. I'm Deborah Owens, host of Wealthy Radio, and this is part three of our coffee and conversation, in which the theme is the entrepreneur in you. And on this panel, I'm really excited because we are going to be talking about the secrets of success, and rejoining me on this panel is Ramsey Harris from PNC Bank, and we also have Chase Turner as well, and Chris Bell is back again, and we're going to talk about in this segment a little bit about you all deal with business owners. And Chase, I'm really excited that you're Chase Turner. I'm excited that you're joining us. And I think I'm going to start with Chase. Chase, so tell us a little bit about your business and how you help businesses be successful.
Well, first, Deborah, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I'm really inspired being around other business owners here. So my business is a design and website business. I've really been selling my design services since I was 14, and it's just kind of expanded. And I found that as the years have progressed, people have been asking for more and more. It's been really fortunate because I find like I haven't really had to do that much except pick up the phone when people are calling me. I guess one of
when you look at, you know, for example, I was just in a meeting today, and I was shocked because I was meeting with they work for organizations, and I was introducing my friend to someone who had expertise in the area that she had some challenges. And what I didn't realize, out of all the things that I would think about of what he focused on when he got with his large organization, he says, well, the first thing I focused on was our branding. And I thought, wow, I didn't anticipate that. He said, well, you know, first I made an assessment, and what I saw was that our image was not coherent, meaning right. that when people looked at our organization, they weren't quite sure what we did. And so because you are a graphic artist, you work on websites, I wanted to talk a little bit about how that can play, that imagery can play into the sex to a business being successful.
Absolutely. You know, it's with the branding, it's kind of like wearing clothes, right? When you go into a meeting, you know, and Ramsey can attest here, you normally he's wearing a suit right now. It would look a little bit odd if he came in dressed in a t-shirt. There's a particular perception that comes with your company or your organization, And depending upon who your audience is or who it is that you're trying to reach, they're going to perceive you a certain way. It's almost like a language there. It's something that people are seeing first. And when they're looking at you, they want to make sure that you can speak their language, that you look like what you're selling.
And, you know, it's interesting. I've went through several, transitions just around my brand. And, you know, we've, changed it because the business has changed and the person that we're trying to reach has changed as well. And So, Chris, I'll go to you now and talk about, you are work with startups. How important is that branding for someone who, when they're first starting their business, how important is that website and that message that they're conveying to potential customers visually?
It's profoundly important. It's like when we were kids, our parents took us on that trip and we saw those golden arches and we used to freak out, you know, and what we couldn't even read. But we knew Golden Arches.
We knew White Castle in Detroit.
Right.
I just thought I would throw that in here.
Right. The same thing applies with your brand. Your brand is two things. One, certainly it's imagery. The other thing is, what does it emote? What do people feel when they encounter you and or your imagery? And so it's being able to make sure that communication is clear, concise, and compelling, those three C's, and that it's digestible and people can remember it. They just click and it continues to click. It makes them feel good and it makes them want to know more, see more, do more, and encounter you more.
Well, it's interesting, Ramsey Harris, as a banker, in how you would, how you would look at a business. And does that image that they're portraying in their corporate brand impact even how PNC Bank may look at the brand, the business, as being successful or not?
Well, I mean, if the numbers speak to that, sure. Ultimately, when we're looking at a business plan per se, and we're looking to kind of investigate and digest and dissect, rather, what it is that this business does and what types of I would say tools they have in their arsenal to attract clientele, and do the numbers and the revenue speak to whatever type of creative branding they've got in place. Ultimately, if there is a key ingredient that differentiates a business enterprise from their competition, the numbers will speak to that. And that's ultimately what we're looking for. So you can be as creative as you want to be, but if it's not working for you, you got to figure out, what do I need to incorporate that's going to help me to differentiate myself, but that differentiation needs to yield profitability
well,
and results.
It's so interesting you say that, because I can remember spending a whole lot of money on a website and like I wasn't selling anything. And so when I had a professional come, you know, I had just bought something out of the box, which you can do, you know, get a template. But what I learned was that there was no call to action. Mm-hmm. You know, the language that I was conveying to that customer, they didn't see me as connecting with mm-hmm. them. So that's why they weren't buying my product. But Ramsey, I want to break down those numbers a little bit, because you say if the numbers speak to themselves. So what, when you're looking at something from a banking perspective, and whether or not a business is successful, are you looking at, are they growing year over year? Is that business revenues growing? And then how are they managing their expenses? So as a result, they're becoming more profitable year over year. How do you look at a business and quantify all of the above?
Absolutely. You sound like you've had some banking in your blood in the past.
Just a little bit.
It's really not rocket science. Ultimately, to what you said, you articulated it very well. We're looking for growth year over year. The revenue needs to speak to that. We're looking for profitability. At PNC, our brand is, we're cash flow lenders. We're a cash flow bank. So speaking of branding, I think this is pretty cool. I think as a bank, we have probably the best branding, and I can say that in this region. We have what we call the CFO, the cash flow options, or the cash flow optimization solutions. And so when business clients sit in front of us, we kind of help to carry some of that load for them and help them and educate them on breaking down the numbers of it, as a CFO would. But we don't become their CFO, we're their bankers. So the reality is, when we're talking about cash flow, what cash flow says is how effectively am I handling the revenue that's coming in versus my expenditures? And at the end of the day, does the outcome of that result in profitability? With all of my expenses coming in, have I attracted the number of clientele that I need to generate income, to generate generate revenue? And when it's said and done, come out in the black and not in the red. The reality is, if you're taking in, you know, more than you're able to handle relative to what you're putting out, cash coming in, cash coming out, and the result of it doesn't really end in you making a profit at the end of the day, profitability, there's a challenge there. You don't go into business not to make money. You go into business to make money. You want to be profitable. So we help our clients to understand how cash flow works, how to operate it efficiently, handle it effectively. And really, the reality of the matter is, if you've got more debt and you've got income coming in or revenue, it doesn't really take a mathematician to realize that there won't be much profitability at the end of the day.
It doesn't, but here's the challenge. You know, as an entrepreneur myself, it's, you know, you have cash flow coming in, and then maybe you hit a plateau, or maybe a contract that you thought was going to come in. So you're forecasting and you're looking at that business coming in. I want to move this to Chris, because I think oftentimes as a business owner, you're like pulling your hair out. First, it was working. It's not working anymore. Now, what do I do? And so let's talk about, from an entrepreneur standpoint, Chris, how do you identify maybe what that obstacle is to sales, right? So how do I, as an entrepreneur, make that cash flow happen? You know, I really believe that cash flow always solves all my problems.
Hello.
Right? So I'm always focused on how do I make the cash flow sometimes more than I am expenses. Do you understand what I'm
absolutely,
saying?
Absolutely. Look, to fix anything, first thing you have to understand is how it's constructed. What have you built? What have you designed? And so I'm a systems guy. And so what I've built is a sales system. And each piece of that system, each part, as I contact a customer or my call to actions or my new funnel and set up the redirect, whatever, I have metrics that I can identify and look at and see where things are actually a bottleneck, where things actually explode and the velocity for the deals increase. And if I have a system, something that I've already designed and tested out, I can understand where things are choking.
Well, but, yeah, so I mean, just to break that down, what we're talking about is, you know, so for example, we all need a sales process, yep. Right? And so that is, how many people do you call, and then, or how many people do you need to contact? You know, how then looking at, okay, what is my process for follow up? But at the end of the day, how do you convert them into sales?
Right.
Right. So as a business owner, I think that's where the challenge can come in. Right. So do I have the right marketing piece going to people, right? Are my people following up in such a manner that it is ending up there converting, or is it the product itself?
I guess that's all of the above, right?
Okay.
So it's usually all of the above.
Sure.
There's this thing that we talk about, it's called CI, competitive intelligence, right? We don't do business in a vacuum. There are other people out there looking at what we do, say, wow, this is great, but I could do this part a little differently, a little better. They didn't create your idea, but they've optimized what you've done.
That's right.
Okay. So sometimes second wins, not first, right?
And so maybe what I need to do is some competitive intelligence to see what my competitors are doing and how I might enhance my business doing that. Well, right now, though, I want, if there are entrepreneurs in the audience or people with questions, I want to invite them to come up to the mic to ask questions of this panel. Ramsey Harris of PNC Bank. We have Chase Turner, who is a graphic design artist. And we have Chris Bell, who actually helps businesses from idea to actual concept. And so now's your chance to ask some questions if you are a business owner of them that perhaps might be just the kinds of things that you're challenged with. I know I'm an entrepreneur, and whenever I'm in a room of experts, where I can get their advice and I'm not actually paying them. you know, it's so the floor is yours. Sure. Tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Denise Mentor, and I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I have a business, I have a building, I have phenomenal credit, but I need some extra work done on the building itself. So what are resources available to me?
Ah, that's a great question. Is that something, so you know what, Bill, do you mind answering the question?
More than happy to talk with you because we do have loans.
So we want everybody to hear it.
Bill Ariano from Baltimore Community Lending. We're more than happy to sit down, especially if you are already in business and you have collateral. We can provide a loan to help you to improve the business. We do an awful lot of lending, also mixed use, commercial and residential. So commercial on the first floor, residential above.
So she's got the three C's, right? So tell us what they are. Is it the three C's or is it four C's, Ramsey?
It could be five.
Six C's.
No, but come on. I mean,
character, like credit, cash flow, concision. I mean, there's so many different things. You know, if you're concise and strategic about what you're trying to accomplish. So she's got it going on. She's in a great spot.
Excellent. So yay for her again. If you have a question, please stand up to the mic. We'd love to hear from you. So we're talking about secrets of success. Before I, in our wonderful event here at the Terror Cafe, I would love for each of you to talk about what is one tip you would give anyone listening to this program about what it takes to really be successful in business.
I'll start. And I alluded to this during our last segment and we had to move on. But, you know, it may sound cliche, but here's the reality of it, especially in a city like Baltimore, where I believe the spirit of entrepreneurship is phenomenal. You know, life happens, but you can move forward. You can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move forward and pursue your dreams and your aspirations. It just takes perseverance and determination. I meet with so many business owners often that are very forthcoming and honest about some of the mistakes they've made financially in the past. And my advice to them is, okay, let's analyze where we are now and what it's going to take for us to get to where you want to go. It may take some time, but let's come together with a plan and a call to action of what you need to do to incorporate some real strategic solutions to move forward. I believe in this city there is such opportunity. And I want to say this too, Deborah, and I want to make this plug. When we move forward with some of the other collaborations that we'll do in the future, I really want to make a call out to the millennials. I'm a millennial myself. There is such an opportunity in this city for us as creative and talented and artistic and gifted as we are to really become some of the best and brightest in this city that we love. And so I would encourage the millennials out there, step out on faith. And if you don't know the answer, ask questions. To your point that you made earlier, not only is knowledge power, but when you apply it correctly, it becomes wisdom.
That's right.
We have to take ownership on this panel and those of us in this room to roll up our sleeves with the knowledge and the intelligence and the gifts and the talents that we have and the blessings that we've been able to obtain in life and give back. Pick up someone along the way that doesn't know and teach them how. You know, when I was in college at the University of Delaware, we had a program called Each One, Reach One. It was a mentoring program. And because it was a PWI, predominantly white institution, there was a small group of black students that we came together. And as freshmen, we were mentored by juniors and upperclassmen and seniors. And that stuck with me throughout my career. And I believe in the power of mentoring, the power of giving back. And so those would be some of the positive words I'd leave with our audience and our viewing audience on tonight.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm glad you, please give him a round of applause. Ramsey, I mean, there are a couple of things I heard there, and there's number one, you know, failure isn't fatal, right? So you can always, you know, a setback is a setup for a comeback, as one of my favorite motivational speakers, Willie Jolly, often says, right? But I'm glad that you talked about millennials because, Chase, you certainly would fit that bill, right? And so what advice would you give your fellow millennials about? You've taken the entrepreneur route. What advice would you give millennials about looking at entrepreneurship as a path?
The best advice I would give is to make sure that you have a why, because in business there's a lot of decisions that are going to be difficult to make, and like Ramsey said, there's going to be some mistakes, some financial hurdles, but you're going to have to understand why you're trying to go into entrepreneurship in the first place, why you want to go into a business, because that's what's going to have to push you through those difficult times. Sometimes you realize that maybe your why might not be enough for you. You might not be willing to make the appropriate sacrifices that might be necessary to go where you want to go.
So can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
What's your why?
Come on.
My why? I really desire to make an impact on my community, and especially within minority communities. For instance, I wanted to go to an HBCU, but I couldn't because the universities didn't have a graphic design program. So one of my pet projects there is to try to get more funding for those art programs so that we can have more minority students represented in the creative field.
Ah, that's interesting. Whoa, yeah. That's a great why. And then, Chris, you've had a varied career. You've been in corporate America. I met you through the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship. Actually, you know, we attend the same church as well. I thought this brother just sang. And in church, I would hear this baritone in the back. I was like, woo, that brother can sing. But then I go to the center. And I'm like, oh, so you're like an entrepreneur in residence too? You're a multi-talented guy. But I guess my question is your why for now you have a company that focuses on entrepreneurship and helping businesses scale. Why did you think that was important, and what have you learned that you could share to not only existing entrepreneurs but aspiring entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. A couple of things. I learned some lessons. One of the first things and the best things you could do was learn to learn and unlearn and relearn as quickly as possible. The velocity of change, that is the speed of change that exists in our society today, is amplified in business. It's louder, it's bigger, and it's scarier, and it will shake you to your core. Because the velocity of change is accelerating, and because there's so much more information, in fact, one of the world's largest insurance companies basically said that 90% of the world's data was generated in the last 2 years. That means that everything that you knew, if you are a senior today in college, everything that you learned from your freshman and sophomore year is probably obsolete. It also means that if you're in business today, you don't know enough. It also means that if you're going to an expert who really doesn't keep their ear to the rail, listening to what's going on and what's coming, feet on the ground, and you're getting your advice from that so-called expert or that so-called coach, no matter how degreed they are, no matter how many letters they have behind their name, it means that you're also getting obsolete information. So my encouragement today is this. You already know enough, but what you need to learn to do is ask better questions. It's not the answers, it's the questions. When I go to meetings, when I engage with my team, when I engage with my crew, I'm asking them and challenging them to ask me better questions, because the answers will change, because the information and the reality of business is changing. Okay? My encouragement is this, and I'll pivot to, we have millennials, to baby boomers. Joes and Janes, boys and girls, my friends, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, it's not too late to do something awesome in your life and become at least semi-autonomous as a business owner, if not a full-blown entrepreneur.
Well, you know what? I love that you shared that, just the velocity of change, because I really do feel like we're in a new financial normal, and that what is required is a different mindset.
Absolutely.
This is not our grandparents' economy, And I think that so many people are longing for that security, that secure job that's going to allow them to stay there, and then they're going to get a pension, and it's going to, you know, sustain them the rest of their lives. That's not the economy that we're in. And what is required, I think, for, I believe, not think, I believe, in order to be able to flourish and thrive in all of this uncertainty is getting comfortable being uncertain, right? So, you know, for me as an entrepreneur, like every day I wake up and if I don't make something happen, it doesn't happen, right? So do things, so I have to plant the seeds, do all the things that are necessary. There are three things that I have to do every day. I have to deepen my existing relationships with clients, talk to potential clients, and I got to close business. And if I do those three things every day, I know that I'm going to be okay, right? But if I go a couple of days and that doesn't happen, I'm not going to be okay, right?
Right.
And so I guess the point of this whole panel really was to kind of demystify entrepreneurship and helping people to understand that you don't have to be afraid, but you do need to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I didn't hear any of you mention, and I just want, we've got about 2 minutes, just was there any person that really influenced you in your life that you would say caused you to take the path that you have? Ramsey?
You should, that's a whole nother 2 hours for me. But in brief, my grandfather is my inspiration in life. He was an entrepreneur, owned multiple business enterprises, raised my aunts and uncles, me, my brother, multiple families in the neighborhood, pastored a church, and did it all in a day's work. So I watched him not take life for granted, but in the 86 years that he was blessed to be on this earth, he died last year. His perseverance, his determination, his hustle, if you will, inspired me. And I watched even, if, you know, the church that he pastored. He was given a loan, 30-year loan. I watched how he and the congregation worked hard to pay that loan off in half, less than half, 12 years time, and he never took a salary from the church. Mm-hmm. He gave and he poured and he invested. And so that inspired me. And so when I was in college at the University of Delaware, I decided I wanted to get into the financial arena and banking because I wanted to help entrepreneurs, minority business owners on the other side of the table to get access to the capital that they need, to be that guy that believes in them, that says, I'm going to help you get here because I know that there's something in you that's going to help you to not only pay this loan, but when you get to where you need to get in life, you're going to look back and remember me and you're going to help someone else along the way. So my inspiration would be my grandfather.
I love it.
His work ethic really inspired me.
What a great ending from Ramsey Harris. He's also with an organization who we're so grateful for sponsoring the Coffee and Conversation series right here at WEAA. We want to say thank you to the community for joining us this evening here on 25th Street at the Terra Cafe. And this has been a special WEAA broadcast with audience live. Our theme this evening was The Entrepreneur in You, brought to you by PNC Bank. We hope you were able to learn from our panel of experts about entrepreneurship, being the boss, and running a successful business. We also like to thank PNC Bank for making this possible right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.